Hey, welcome back to Prayer Rocket Academy. I sure hope you're enjoying this as much as I am providing it for you. I really, truly hope it serves you well, and I hope you're diving into the workbook, because as you know, that is a key tool that will help you work through this program and implement the things that I'm sharing with you into your daily prayer life. So please, please, please take advantage of that workbook, okay? And I'm coming at you here from Central Florida. This is where I'm recording Prayer Rocket Academy, where I live. I'm in the studio here, and actually it's not very sunny at the moment. Usually in Florida, we're looking at beautiful sunny skies, but a huge mega rainstorm rolled in just a little while ago, and so if you should hear some trees banging against the windows here outside the recording studio and some wind noise, we're going to try real carefully to edit those things out so they're not a distraction in the recording. But we're going to go ahead and get started. I hope wherever you are in the world that things are looking good and that you are ready to dive right in here with me. All right, so we're going to talk about the power of words right now. Because, of course, our prayers are made up of words, and the things that we say can advance our prayers or make our prayers retreat. In fact, we're also going to talk about how sometimes, unknowingly, we reverse our prayers. You know, the Bible says that there are a lot of things that we don't have simply because we don't speak up. Think about that. There are a lot of things we have simply because we don't speak up. It says you have not because you ask not. Now, there are some different ways you can pray. All right, we touched on this a little bit in the introduction audio. One way to pray is to ask God for something, and that's a request, okay? So a prayer can be a request, prayer request. But then there are times the word says, hey, you don't have to ask. Just say what you want. Okay? You don't have to say, God, will you please move that mountain? No, Jesus told you what you could say. He said, mountain, move. You see, when you know something already belongs to you, you don't have to ask. You just say what you want. So just speak up. Say what belongs to you. Say what's already yours. So as we think about the things that we say, we have to become very intentional about the things we say, because the things we say come to be. There's power in words, okay? A few years ago in Florida, we were hit with a hurricane, and the name of that hurricane was Charlie. We actually had a season of multiple hurricanes. But in our house, we were without electricity for 14 days. Yeah, that's 2 weeks. I remember bathing in our pool and washing clothes in 5-gallon buckets and taking showers at my best friend's house until we were able to get our generator hooked up so that we could take a shower. And that's how we lived for a couple of weeks. My neighbor, who is a widow, her name is Janice, and we kept an eye out for her. We helped her clean up her trees because all the trees went down in her yard, and wanted to help take care of her because she was over there by herself. So we ran a power cord from our generator to her house so that she could have electricity to turn her lights on and power up her refrigerator. Now, we noticed, though, at nighttime, she was over there still in the dark. And so we asked her, we said, Janice, why are you still in the dark over there? She said, well, when it gets dark, I turn the lights on just long enough to light all my candles, and then I turn the power off. What? What? Okay, listen to this. My neighbor had the option to tap into something that would have kept her from fighting the darkness in her home. Do you hear me? She had the option to tap into our generator, giving her light, but instead she chose darkness. Are you like my neighbor in any way? you probably haven't completely tapped into the power tool that you have to make yourself and your family successful in every realm of your life. You know, you may be wondering how on earth you're going to get health insurance now with the changes that have taken place in our government. And it might be critical if you have an illness. Maybe you have a marriage that's in trouble, or a teen that's kind of gone away from home or is maybe going through a rebellious phase. Maybe you've got a dream or an ambition of a new business. And maybe these problems that you're facing seem too big to move. Maybe they've been going on for so long, you don't ever see a chance of those things getting better. But listen, if you can tap into what I'm going to share with you today on this audio, you are going to learn how you can shape an amazing life. Guaranteed, you will have the things that you need and the things that you've been crying out to God for. So I want you to take a moment and think about what a great day would look like. What would a snapshot of a great day look like for you? You know, the kind of day where you just crush it everywhere you go. What would that look like? The picture perfect day. You know, would you get up and your kids would be perfect angels? They wake up at the crack of dawn on their own. They sneak out to the kitchen, make you coffee, and serve it to you in bed. Right. You know, maybe it's the kind of day where just everything's going great. You know, for me, it would be waking up and meeting my best friend at the tennis court, and we play a lovely game of tennis in 70 degree weather, and then we sit by the pool. And by the way, I would win that tennis game. That would be part of my perfect day, right? So, but think about it. There'd be no aches and pains. My knee wouldn't bother me. You know, it would just be a beautiful morning. What would your perfect day look like? Free of problems, free of sickness, free of stress and strain, free of maybe relationship issues. You walk into your job and you tackle it without any problem. You get ideas that come to you and just, man, you're just soaring through the day. No problems. Everything is peachy perfect. Well, that pretty much looks like heaven on earth, right? It's heaven everywhere you go. It's heaven in your home. It's heaven on the job. It's heaven in your car. Did you know that Jesus said that we can have on earth what we will have in heaven? He said in the book of Matthew, "May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means that it's possible to have heaven on earth. It is possible to have heaven on earth in your home. Listen to me. It is possible to have heaven operating in your children. It is possible to have heaven in your marriage, heaven in your finances, heaven in your health, heaven in your friendships. I'm going to show you how you can have heaven in every area of your life here on earth. Now, I know that sounds far-fetched, but listen to me. The Bible says anything is possible for those who believe. So my question to you is this: do you believe? Do you believe that God's word is true and that it's true for you? If so, you can bring heaven to your earth, and I'm going to show you how. If Jesus said to you, "Everything you say will happen exactly as you say it," would that change what you say? Well, guess what? He did. In Mark 11:24, it says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe Trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. You see, Jesus is saying, what you say will happen. I was at the headquarters for Campus Crusade for Christ not too long ago, and you may recognize that name. Campus Crusade for Christ is the organization that puts out the Jesus film, and that film is translated into every known language in the world, and it's responsible for bringing millions of people to know Christ. It's just amazing. They have about 10 recording studios, and I was invited to their studios to record the audio version of my book, Finding Your Smile in Hard Times. This is a high-end studio, high-tech. They've got the finest sound and recording equipment. The microphones are super powerful, so powerful that they pick up the sound of all kinds of stuff, even sounds that your tummy makes, you know, bodily functions and things like that. So what happened first as I'm recording my book is that I was reading, okay, and I was using my finger to follow along on the page. And the tech engineer told me that I couldn't do that because the microphone could pick up the sound of my finger on the sheet of paper, you know, moving across the paper. So I had to stop doing that. And then the sound engineer every once in a while would say, you're going to have to take a drink. And I'm like, well, why are you telling me to take a drink? I'll let you know if I'm thirsty, right? But what he was saying was the mic was picking up the crackle and the sound of a slightly dry mouth. Can you imagine that? That's how powerful those microphones are. But what was even crazier than that was that the microphone would pick up the sound of my stomach growling. Now, I had had a salad that night for dinner, and a salad isn't the easiest thing to digest. It was probably the wrong thing to eat right before I'm about to record this audio version of my book. So my stomach was making all these gurgling noises, and when it did, the engineer would have to stop me and tell me that I would have to read that paragraph over again, or whatever that section was, because he heard some stomach noise. And I'm telling you, he had to stop me like 10 times. And after a while, I'd stop when my stomach would speak up, and I'd say, oh, shoot, my stomach's growling. Or I'd say things like, oh, snap, my stomach just made that noise again. And I was kind of getting upset, and actually, I was getting what I said. My stomach continued to growl because I continued to talk about the fact that it was growling. So finally I wised up and I said, stomach, stop growling, be quiet. And guess what? It stopped. It stopped. I want you to know that you can say what you want to see. Say what you want to see. You know, Matthew 17:20 says this. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Mark 11:24 says this. For this reason, I'm telling you, now, this is Jesus speaking. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. John 15:7 in the Amplified Version puts it this way, if you live in me, this is just a little bit different from what I just read. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you. And continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. So, in these scriptures, Jesus is saying, what you say will happen. Now, here's the tough part. Okay, are you ready for this? The results of what you say will either be positive or negative. depending on what you say. If you speak positive, you're going to get positive results. If you speak negative, you're going to get negative results. You're going to get exactly what you speak. Matthew 12, 35 and 37 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you or sentence you. Whoa. Your words will sentence you. So let me ask you, what's your sentence? What have you sentenced yourself to? Well, that's easy to answer. Take a look at what you're experiencing in your life. You have sentenced yourself to what you've talked about. Now, don't get all upset with me. I'm just repeating what the scripture says here, that the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you or sentence you. My son Tyler loves to run. In fact, in high school, he was on the cross country team. And so he would go for runs periodically in the evenings. And this one time he was running on a beautiful piece of rural road. It was a beautiful stretch of road. There weren't many houses around. And I knew where he was, but when he came back home, he had this really scared look on his face. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Tyler, what happened? And he's like huffing and puffing, and that's not normally like him. So I was a little concerned. I said, Tyler, what happened out there? What happened on your run? And he said, Mom, I had a dog chasing me. I said, well, really? I said, did he get you? You know, I was trying to kind of lighten it up a little bit. He's very serious. He goes, no, Mom, he didn't get me. I said, well, that's good. He said, yeah, he didn't get me because I used my words. I said, well, what do you mean you used your words, Tommy? What are you talking about? He said, when that dog was chasing me, I stopped and I turned around and I looked at him and I said, you stop. I used my words. I said, whoa, that's cool. So what Tyler did was he told that dog what to do. He took authority over that dog and he told him to stop. And the dog stopped. You know, maybe you've heard news stories about people breaking into a home. Like I heard the story of this breaking in, this robber that broke into an elderly woman's home. And she took authority over him. He had a gun and she stopped and she looked at him dead in the face and she took authority over him and she said, in the name of Jesus, you will not rob me. You will turn around and leave. And guess what he did? He left. I've heard a lot of stories like that. I heard the story of a lady that was in Walmart parking lot and someone jumped in her car and tried to hijack her car at gunpoint. And she looked at him and said, no, you are not going to do that to me. You are not going to take my car. She said, do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. And she started preaching to him. And she started quoting scripture. And you know what? A few moments later, the guy had tears running down his face. He felt the power of God in that woman's car. She took authority over that situation with her words. Proverbs 18:20. Through 21 in the Expanded Version Bible says this, people will be rewarded for what they say. From the fruit of the mouth of a person is their stomach satisfied. They will be rewarded by how they speak. The yield, gain of their lips satisfies. What you say can mean in the power of the tongue, life or death. Those who speak with care love it, will be rewarded and eat its fruit. End quote. Wow, that is a powerful verse. It's saying that everything you say will happen exactly as you say it. You know what? I'm just going to read that to you once again. Listen so closely. This is Proverbs 18, 20, and 21 from the Expanded Version Bible. People will be rewarded, just like that lady that was in the Walmart shopping area or the parking area, and that guy jumped in her car. She was rewarded by what she said. She told him, no way, you are not going to take my car. You're not going to hijack me. So listen, people will be rewarded for what they say. From the fruit of the mouth of a person is their stomach satisfied. They will be rewarded by how they speak. The yield gain of their lips satisfies. What you say can mean, in the power of the tongue, life or death. Those who speak with care love it and will be rewarded and eat its fruit. Man, that is powerful. Powerful. But you know what happens? People end up reversing the prayers that they say in faith. Have you ever said something like this? God, help me to lose weight and eat right. But then a day later, you say something like, oh my gosh, I am never going to lose weight. Or you say, God, help me, prosper me, give me a raise, God. But then in a moment of frustration, you're looking at your bills. They're spread all out over the table. And you're saying, oh, I am never going to get out of debt. What's going on there? You're reversing the prayers that you prayed in faith. You know, I'm working with a lady that is one of my private coaching clients. And I work with clients all over the United States via Skype. So this gives me the ability, no matter where I am in the country or world, I can connect with people on Skype and coach them through their situations, whether it be a spiritual issue or just a life issue. So every Thursday, regardless of where I am in the country, this lady has my undivided attention for an hour every week. I focus totally on her and her goals. And so she has access to everything in my brain for that hour. Okay, think about this. All my experience as a pastor and a doctor of psychology, a certified temperament specialist, certified life coach, she has all this available to her so that she can get the help that she needs to break through the roadblocks in her life. Okay, so now even though she has access to all that, all the stuff that's in my brain, and you know, I kind of like to think that there's a lot up there, right? Okay, so I've got all these tools at my disposal, but do you think I let her talk about her problems during that hour? No, I don't. Do you think I talk about the thing that's holding her back during that entire hour? No, I don't. You see, I have trained her to say what she wants to see. In fact, her goal is to lose weight. She wanted to lose 25 pounds and to get in the best shape of her life. So every time we have a coaching session, together we say what she wants to see. And she says something like this, I am getting fit, strong, healthy. I am losing weight and I am getting well-toned. I am getting into the best shape of my life. And you know what? In the first 3 weeks, she lost 9 pounds. That's pretty good. And I've been coaching her for quite a while, and she's eating healthy. She's looking good. Her spiritual life has become vibrant and exciting. And one of the key components to her success is that she has learned to say what she wants to see. Now, that'll work for you, too, in any area that you need something. Say what you want to see. The value of the tongue is underestimated in Christian circles. And that's so strange because even the world has caught on to how powerful our words are. Dale Carnegie stated that it takes 5 positive statements to reverse 1 negative statement. And some secular psychologists believe that it takes 7 positive statements to reverse the effects of 1 negative statement. A great book that's been around for decades is Napoleon Hill's book called Think Rich and Grow Rich. And the key to his book, which is secular, is the same principle. It's the power of belief and the power of what you say. And you've heard of the book The Secret? It's founded on that very same principle. You will receive what you want in life by attracting it to you with your words. And you know, look at all the guests that Oprah has on her Super Soul Sunday. These guests that reiterate these very same ideas. It's nothing new here. It's in the Bible. So if the worldly culture around us has come to understand the value and the power of words, why are believers so slow to use the power that God's given us? Especially when His Word, the Bible, point blank, tells us that what we say has more impact than what we can do in the flesh. Allow me to paraphrase Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies in our homes, on our jobs, at the bank, or in the parking lot. We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, in our lives, in our government, in our healthcare system, or against mighty powers in our schools and evil spirits in heavenly places. You see, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you, you shall show to be in the wrong. Now, who's going to stop that weapon? You are. What's the weapon? Your tongue. Words. And you stop the weapon with your words. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you. In other words, every word that rises up against you, you're going to show that word to be in the wrong. So how do you show that word that rises up against you to be in the wrong? You have to talk back. You have to use your tongue. And to do that, you have to take every thought that comes into your mind captive and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, every thought that does not line up with the Word of God, you capture it and you make it line up. And you do this by speaking. You tell the circumstances how to line up. You speak to your mountain and you tell it where to go. Let me show you how practical this is. Tiffany is my 16-year-old daughter. And one time she spoke to me in a very disrespectful tone. Okay, she's not a perfect kid, but she's a beautiful girl, just wonderful. She loves God and tries to do what's right. But, you know, sometimes kids say things that they shouldn't, or they say them in a tone that they shouldn't. So I looked Tiffany in the eye when she spoke to me in a disrespectful way. And I said, Tiffany, you are not going to speak to me like that. You will speak lovingly and respectfully. I didn't say, Tiffany, you talk like a disrespectful brat. Now, why didn't I say that to her? Because if I had said that, that's exactly what I would get more of. And I want to say what I want to see. I'm not going to say what I see. I want to say what I want to see. You know, I'm amazed at how Jesus handled behavior problems. In fact, I share this a lot with teachers and administrators when I do in-service workshops for schools and colleges. Over and over again, we see how Jesus approached sinners. Now, these are people who messed up, people who made mistakes. And Jesus always approached them with compassion. He never, never made people feel bad. Jesus never shamed people with his words. He never condemned them. In fact, think about the lady that he caught in adultery. Maybe we shouldn't call her a lady. We'll call her the woman caught in adultery, okay? What did he say to her? He said, go and sin no more. In other words, he said, don't do this again. He didn't try to beat her up for what she'd done. He didn't look at her and say, you whore, you slut. He didn't say, I am not impressed with your behavior. Or he didn't say, now that was stupid. No, all he said was, go and sin no more. In other words, he's saying, do it differently next time. You see, Jesus spoke what he wanted to see. You know, why do we think that shaming someone is going to help them? Well, they need to feel sorry for what they did. They need to be repentant. Well, yes, but let me let you in on a little secret. It's not our job to bring people to repentance. The Holy Spirit will do that all by himself. One time my son had forgotten to write a paper for his history class. And I didn't beat him up or shame him over it. He felt bad about it already. So, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ. So if Christ didn't beat people up, you know, I'm thinking, why should I beat my son up and make him feel bad about his mistake? So you know what Tyler did? He chose to stay home that day for a couple of hours, missing a couple of periods at school so that he could finish this paper. And I didn't like the decision that he made because I didn't like the mistake he made, but I let him do it. And what I tried to do was instead of beating him up, I wanted to just see the best in Tyler. Because you know what? That's what Christ does for us. He doesn't beat us up and make us feel bad about our mistakes. We do that. We let the enemy do that to us. Christ only sees the best in us, and he asks us to do that for others. Think about what Philippians 4:8 says. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are beautiful, right? So with that scripture, he's asking us to think about the good things in every circumstance. He's asking us to think about the good things in other people. So if he's asking us to do that for others, you better believe that God's doing that for us. He's focusing and fixing his eyes upon our good. So, you know, if you have a kid in your home who's having behavior problems, or maybe you're a teacher and you have a kid in your class who's having some difficulty with self-control, or maybe it's a kid in your Sunday school class, well, how about handling it like this? Have you ever laid hands on someone and prayed for healing? I'm sure you have, right? So why not try the same kind of thing the next time your son or daughter or someone else is struggling to be quiet? Just walk over to them, place your hand on their shoulder, and say what you want to see. Don't speak the problem. Speak the solution. Speak what you want to see. Talk about the behavior that you prefer. It's kind of like this. You could say, Josh, you're going to quit talking back and you're going to be calm and still. You're no longer going to disrupt this family with your disrespect. You're going to have self-control. Just try that. See how it works for you. Try it consistently and don't reverse it with anything else that you say. You know, if you've got a child that's having trouble with their grades or that's failing a class, you could say something like this. Jill, you're beginning to grasp this concept. Right now, your mind is starting to understand. So you don't have to make it sound like a prayer. Just speak what you want to see. I remember when my son was a baby in his crib, he was taking a nap and I was walking in the house. I was praying as I was walking through the hallway and into his room. And I just got so stirred up. I wanted to pray for him. So as he's laying in his crib, you know, he was probably about 3 months old at this point. And I stretched my hand out toward the crib and I just began praying for Tyler. And I remember the prayer. I said, God, make him a worshiper. I just declare that Tyler will always have a song in his heart for you, God. And you know what happened? At that moment that I stretched my hand out and I declared that over my son, he picked his little head up. Now, remember, he was sound asleep in his crib, but at that moment, he picked his little head up, he stirred around, and then he laid his head back down. You know, I believe that was the Spirit of God doing something in him, because I was speaking something over him. I was speaking what I wanted to see in his life. And today, I see the fruit of that. In fact, all of Tyler's life, he has been a worshiper. I love to hear him in the bathroom singing as he's taking a shower and just worshiping. I mean, he's always got a song in his heart. He's always humming a praise and worship tune. He's got incredible music downloaded on his iPhone that he's always listening to. And it's part of the reason is because as a baby, I spoke what I wanted to see in my young man. And he is a guy after God's heart. And it's just beautiful to have seen that take place in him. You know, if your husband leaves his underwear on the floor, instead of complaining for the 100th time, simply look at him with sweetness in your eyes and say, you know what? I love that you pick up your clothes and you help me keep the house in order. You know, I constantly tell my man that he's the best husband in the world. He loves like no other. And guess what? I see what I've been saying for over 22 years. I think that's how long we've been married. I lose track. But my point is this. If you've got things that you want to see, instead of complaining about them, speak the things that you want to see. Speak not what you see, but speak what you want to see. Say what you want to see. And this gets easier when you realize the crazy amount of authority that you have as a believer. And we're going to talk more. In fact, we're going to spend a whole audio section on authority to help you understand the amount of authority that you've been given by Christ and how you can use it. But as I touch on it right here, you've got to remember that Jesus stripped the enemy of his weapons and his power, and that gave you authority over the enemy. Colossians 2:15 talks about that, and that's a great scripture for you to look up. So, you know, people say, well, the enemy is so powerful. No, he's not. The only power the devil has is what you give him. The only power he has is what you give him. If he can make you say wrong things, he's got you where he wants you. If he can make you say wrong things, he wins because he knows the power of words. I'm telling you, Satan knows the power of words, and that's why he wants you to complain. That's why he wants you to talk about your pain and your problems. He wants you to speak about the negative things in your life because he knows the power in those words will keep those things in your life. So the problem is that we don't use the authority that we have. Would you allow a thief to walk into your front door, right past you, sitting at the kitchen table, and walk into your family room, and then just walk out with your TV? No, of course not. You'd stop him. Why? Why would you stop him? Well, because it's illegal, and he has no right to your stuff. And yet, we let the enemy in on our jobs, and we let the enemy in church. We let him walk right into the building, get in the back corner, and raise havoc. We let him raise havoc with our lives and our families, and he's right under our noses. We've got to stop him. You've got to stop him. Don't say things like, my marriage is busting up. We're not going to make it. No. Say something like, my husband and I are going to work through this. This may be tough, but God's going to teach us how to meet each other's needs. You could say something like, I love my husband more than ever before. Now listen, you may not feel it at that moment, but your actions will follow your words. If you will begin to speak it, you will eventually feel it. So begin to speak it and you will begin to feel it. How can this be? Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. So all those things that are wreaking havoc in our lives, we can take control of them with our words because those forces of hell have been legally stripped of their authority. They've been legally stripped of their power. Now, they do continue to roam around the earth, all right? They're carrying out these evil deeds like criminals and bandits and thugs. But just like those criminals who refuse to submit to the law, those evil spirits will continue to operate until some believer, listen to me, until some believer uses his God-given authority to stop them. Are you going to allow a thief to just walk in your front door and take whatever he wants? No. You'd call the police or you'd call someone who has the authority to enforce the law, right? Well, hey, God's given you the authority to stop the thief that comes to steal things in your life. And all you have to do to stop him is enforce your authority and he will flee. Quit giving him permission to mess with your stuff and to mess with your family, to mess with your friends, to mess with your country. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One time my kids and I stopped at Burger King and we were going to get breakfast. And it was going to be a quick breakfast, obviously, you know, at Burger King. I don't typically frequent a place like Burger King fast food, but we had to get something quick. It was before school. And there were three construction guys standing in the line near us. And there was this big, muscular guy. And he was trying to flirt with the girl that was behind the counter. And he was saying stuff to her like, you're so fine. I want to take you home with me. You know, give me your number. And I could tell that she was very uncomfortable. But she didn't know how to react. She didn't know what to say to him and how to respond. And I was just not happy with what I was seeing. You know, this guy was just being so rude and treating her like a piece of meat. So I stepped up beside him and I looked at him in the eye and I said very firmly, she doesn't want you talking to her like that. Stop talking to her like she's a piece of meat. Leave her alone. And you know what? He did. He immediately backed down and he started apologizing to me and her. What did I do there? I spoke what I wanted to see. I took control of the situation. I took the authority that had been given to me by Christ, through Christ, and I used it to stop something evil. I spoke what I wanted to see. There was this one time that Tiffany and I were at a hotel in the Disney area, and we had gone away for the weekend. I was taking her out for her birthday, and it was just a special mom and daughter time. And she was quite younger. She was probably maybe 11 or 12. And I was in the shower getting ready for the day, and she was in the area where she was watching TV. But I could hear somebody trying to get in the room. And I was in the shower, so I couldn't get out real quick, right? So I just took authority, and I screamed at whoever it was that was trying to get in the room. I screamed, and I just said, no, you do not come in that door. That's all I said. No one was going to get in my room and mess with my little girl. Something powerful rose up inside of me. You see, someone was trying to mess with my stuff, and I wasn't going to have it. So I yelled, I enforced my authority, and I said, hey, you stop. Now, you don't have to yell to enforce your authority, but, you know, I was putting the fear of God in whoever that was, right? That's just an example. I was saying what I wanted to see, and that's what you can do. You know, you can do this to stop stuff that's going on in your community that's not right. You can do things that will change the results of an election. You can do things that will rid evil out of your community. A couple of years ago, I was driving down this road that was in front of our house, and I noticed a sign that went up. It said, Club Lust. And I thought, are you kidding? I wasn't going to have a sign like that in my community, in my neighborhood, just a couple of miles from my road. A sign that said Club Lust? No way. So I told my two teenagers what our plan was going to be. We were going to tell that place where to go. We were going to use our authority. So every day as we drove by that place, I would take the kids to school and I'd say, okay, we're going to get to work right here. We're going to tell that place it's not allowed to be here. So as we drove by, we would just say, Club Lust, you have to leave. You can't be here. You must go. That's it. That's all we would say. Club Lust, you're not allowed in our neighborhood. Club Lust, you have to leave. Get out of here. Now, I could have said, oh my gosh, look what they're putting in there. That's awful. They're putting a strip club right down the road from my house. Oh no, look what this neighborhood's coming to. You know, most people would just roll over and take it. But I'm letting you know, you don't have to. You can stand up with your God-given authority and shut the devil down. Do it. Say what you want to see. Don't establish the enemy's word. Establish God's word in your life. This is how you bring heaven to earth, and this is how you bring heaven into your home. If you say what God says, you can have what God says. But if you say what the devil says, you will have what the devil says. Let me show you how you can get an audience with God when you have a problem. Wouldn't it be cool to have a guaranteed audience with God? Matthew 10:32 through 34 from the Amplified Bible says this: Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven and confess that I am abiding in him. Okay, now that's Jesus talking, okay? So what's that scripture saying? If you confess what? It's saying if you confess Jesus. That's what Jesus was saying. Now, Jesus is the Word, okay? John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word of God. You cannot separate them. So when you're confessing the Word, you're actually confessing Jesus. So when he says, if you confess the Word, I'll confess you or bring you before the Father. You see, Jesus is our high priest, Hebrews 3:1, who is always interceding for us. So if you confess the Word, you will get an audience with God. You'll get your prayers answered. If you confess the Word, which is Jesus, he, Jesus, will confess you or bring you before the Father. So if you confess the Word of God, you will always have an audience with God. Isn't that cool? Now, on the flip side, Matthew 10:33 says this, But everyone who denies me on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So if you deny the Word, in other words, if you don't speak the Word, and if you say opposite of what the Word says, that's a way of denying the Word, that means you will be denied before God. Whoa! Your prayers won't be answered. If you disagree with God's Word or speak something that is in conflict with God's Word, you will not get your prayers answered. That's why I said that sometimes we reverse the prayers that we pray. That's important stuff. You need to think about that. See, Jesus is the go-between, but he's not going to go between us and God if we don't say what he says. Remember, he says that if you're not for me, you're against me. See, Jesus repeats our prayer to God, to the Father, as long as it lines up with what he has said in his word. Jesus repeats our requests to God if we repeat Jesus' promises to him. So now do you see why it is so important to say what you want to see and to say what you see in God's word? Because those are the things that you really want to see, right? The things that you've read about in God's word, those promises, those things that are heavenly-like. That's what you want to see on earth. So I want to encourage you to say what you want to see. Isn't that good stuff? All right, so you know right now what I'm going to ask you to do, right? I'm going to ask you to go get your workbook, pull it out, open it up, and get to the section that corresponds with this audio about saying what you want to see. And you're going to have an opportunity to do a few exercises. You're going to write down some things that you want to see in your life. It's going to help you to visualize some of the things that you want to see differently. And it's going to give you an opportunity to write down some key things that you want to see change in your life and in the lives of those you love and in the lives of those around you. All right? So go for it. Go grab that workbook.